So this morning, I would like to actually pick up on something that we alluded to last week. Last week we spoke about interpersonal conflicts, and I was thinking afterwards, based on some of the comments, two questions that were really kind of percolating in my mind afterwards. And one is, and it follows the particular case that we were alluding to with this particular sports figure who is married to the person who was the recipient of that punch. So now, what happens after that action takes place? You know, through the process of tshuva, so what now happens? You know, is it completely forgotten? Is it not forgotten? Do we pretend like it did happen, like it didn't happen? So that was the first thing that kind of came to my mind. And then the second thing, which we're not going to have time for today, but Mirza Hashem will talk about next week for Tzom Gedalia, is however we resolve, when we're not going to resolve this discussion, it's going to be food for thought. Well, is there something, some crime, at which point you say, no, there's just a limit, that there's no way back after that? Now, there's a line beyond which a person cannot return. And on the one hand, you think to yourself, well, you know, the Rebbeinu Shlomo always takes us back. On the other hand, maybe there's certain things, and maybe that might be a distinction between Ben Adam Lamakom, Ben Adam Lachavero, you know, Lo Aleinu, maybe there's certain things where we have to draw the line and just say, no, that's it, it's too far gone. So, but this morning, I want to start with the first question, which is, okay, this terrible episode happened, and everybody makes mistakes. So the person wants to, they want to make amends. They want to really recreate themselves. And that's essentially what the process of tshuva is about. In a certain sense, a person who is a baal tshuva, and the word, the phrase baal tshuva, Rav Kook has an extensive discussion about tshuva in his work called Orot HaTshuva. And it's really a masterful, it's an incredible work if anybody has the time to study it. So there, he talks about tshuva in many ways, one of them modeling, in a certain sense, like a sunlight, like an opening of a person's eyes, a warmth, a radiance. So in a certain sense, when a person does tshuva, when a person reinvents themselves on some level, they're not the same person anymore. The Rambam has a very, very dramatic description of this. The Rambam, because it's already the period of Slichos, I can give one small tangent, permitted? But it's an important tangent. The Rambam breaks down Hilchos Tshuva into 10 chapters. So he starts the first chapter with the mitzvah of tshuva. You know, what are the components? So vidui is a major component of tshuva, a person verbalizing the things that they did to concretize it for themselves. And then the Rambam goes on exactly how that works. Then the Rambam tells you who has challenges to tshuva, what are ma'ak, things that are ma'akiv. Then the Rambam does something interesting. The Rambam starts again in the 7th chapter. La'olam yira adam es atzmo ki'ilu hu nota lamus v'shema yamas b'shaito v'nimsa omid b'cheto. The Rambam says, you got to do tshuva. And then the Rambam goes again, why it's important to do tshuva. So it's almost like the Rambam is rehashing in the 7th chapter what he told me in the 1st chapter, which is very unusual. The Rambam doesn't repeat himself. But what's important to note is that chapters 5 and 6 are an interlude. And that transforms the process and makes it a whole new level. What's that? This is where the Rambam talks about the Jewish view of Bechira Chavshis, of free will. It's interesting that the Rambam puts in Hilchos Tshuva, but now we can understand why. The Rambam first tells you it's a mitzvah to do tshuva. These are the steps of tshuva, right? 4 steps of tshuva for the Rambam. You have to stop doing what you're doing. You have to accept that you're not. You have to have regret. You're not going to do it again. You have to verbalize it. But then the Rambam says, well, Rishus kol adam nesunalo. A person has free choice. That's chapters 5 and 6, all about that. Now the Rambam says, hol Rishus kol adam nesunalo. Since everybody has free choice, Yishtadel ha'adam lasas tshuva. A person is proper to pursue the path of tshuva. Why? Because now it's a whole different ballgame. It's one thing to say, I did something wrong, I'm going to make amends. It's another thing to say that, wait a second, my whole personality, all of life is in my hands. Now, the way I view all the things that happened to me, it's not that, well, there was a circumstance, And I'm reacting to that circumstance. No, the Rambam is saying, your life is in your hands. Rishus al nisuno, you decide what you want to make of your life. You're right, you're put in a different circumstance any given day, in any given situation. But you decide what you're going to do with your life. Now, that tshuva, it's a whole different kind of tshuva, because that's a transformational tshuva. Now, the tshuva is actually, you're empowered to say, this is going to be my life. So it makes sense now that the Rambam is going to start again and say, now you're it's a different kind of tshuva. Now your tshuva has really transformed you as a person. So in that context, the Rambam has a very, very almost dramatic presentation. So he said in this Halacha Zion, he says, a person, kamam ulam alas tshuva, how much is the tshuva is amazing? Emesh. Now the word emesh in Hebrew means?
Yesterday,
but specifically?
Last night.
Right? So listen to the Rambam. The Rambam does not say, yesterday I was. No, the Rambam says, last night. Just last night I was. Muvdal mehashem elokeiso. I was separated from God. I was distant. I was disconnected. And then the Rambam says, v'hayom, today, hu mudbak b'shchina. He is clinging, he's connected to the Rabbona Shalom. And the Rambam goes on with a very lengthy description. So it's really loud, sounds like a transformation. And it's dramatic because it's not just etmol, yesterday, emesh, last night, but today it's a whole other story. People, some farmers use the phrase, eini oso ha'ish, I'm not the same person. So does that mean that if something happened, some episode occurred, and I go through the tshuva process properly, and if it's bein odom l'chaveru, that means, what do I have to do? I have to ask mechila from that person. It's a tough business. This is the scene. Yes, doctor?
How does a person know whether an activity, an action was his own doing or from Hashem?
So that's an awesome question, and it's a very complex question, because let me say it to you like this. I'll tell you a story. 3 or 4 years ago, Rav Herschel Schechter, my Rebbe, so he came to Chicago, and we brought him around like a Chassidish Rebbe to all the schools, to all the children. So one kid in Hillel Torah, a 7th grade kid, I'm telling you, I saw this in my own eyes, raised his hand, and he asked Rav Schechter, do we as Jews believe in Gilgulim? Reincarnation. That's what he asked, in front of all the kids, in the middle of an assembly. Can you imagine a 7th grade kid asked that question? Pella, he asked that question. So Rav Schechter's answer to him, interestingly, was, I'm not sure, but it doesn't matter. Why doesn't it matter? He said, because my responsibility is to lead my life according to the way the Rabbona Shalom gave me the guidelines and the circumstances that I have. Whether or not my neshama is a Gilgal from somebody else, that doesn't change the mandate that I have. So related to your question, it's very difficult to know. Maybe you need even a Navi to know whether a particular episode in a person's life is a consequence of what we call Hashkacha Pratis, which is, you know, this is direct divine intervention for me specifically, or it's an expression of Hashkacha Klalis. Now, different people have different views on Hashkacha Pratis and Hashkacha Klalis. Some people, and this is like a more Hasidic approach, everything is direct Hashkacha Pratis, and others view a legitimate Torah opinion, Rambam, that not every single interaction is necessarily, it may be, but it may not be governed by Hashgacha Klalis. So it's hard to know, but I think the answer in a certain sense to us is maybe, and you can tell me you could disagree, it doesn't matter. Because the challenge for me is, how do I respond? The challenge is not, and this is Rav Soloveitchik, you know, expands massively on this in a much bigger context, a heavy context, and Kol Dodido Feik about the Shoah. The challenge for me is not to ask, well, why am I sitting in traffic? The question is, so what am I supposed to do now? You know, am I supposed to be rolling down the window cursing out the guy in front of me? Or am I supposed to, down the Kav Schlis, maybe something happened? You know, the question is, what am I supposed to do with it? So I don't know necessarily why this particular episode is happening to me. The question is more, what am I supposed to do with it? Especially in the context of the Rambam's idea that there's Bechira Chavshis. You have free choice. You don't have free choice when you're born, who your parents are, who your in-laws are. Those things, you don't have free choice about that. So the question is, how do you deal with it? Does that answer the question or no? Okay. Oh. So here we are trying to figure out whether or not this concept of tshuva doesn't really mean that things never even happened. So there is, I thought of one Gemara that I share with you right here on the page one. It's a blot in the end of Maseches Makos. The Gemara says the following, and it's the language of the Gemara that I thought was instructive for us. The din is, the halacha is, that lo aleinu, a person who brazenly, in front of two witnesses, tells them, I hate God, I hate religion, I'm daf going to go down the hall to Burger King, I'm intentionally buying hamburger, I know the pasuk in Chumash, and they tell him, you know, there's a pasuk in Chumash that says you can't eat from the Burger King. He says, I don't care, afal pi kein. So in certain circumstances, in the old days, they would take him to a beis din, they would testify that such a thing happened, they would give him lashes. Now, Rachmana Litzlan, and there were episodes like this sometimes, lo aleinu, in the Shoah, where a person, lo aleinu, has such a traumatic experience, they may lose control of their bowels. They may wet themselves. So the Mishnah has the following halacha. Niskalkel, if that such a thing happened to a person, Bain Berei, Bain B'mayim Pater. And the Gemara has discussion exactly what the details are, but that person no longer is subject to lashes. Why not? So the Gemara on Amud Beis, on page 2, has a principle of vinikla, that the purpose of this punitive punishment of Malkus is to degrade the person, to shame the person. That's part of it. And this person is already shamed. And that's it. So we see the first half of the process. You see, a person was an avarian, they did an avera. Then they go through a process where they're fixing themselves. And actually, when the person was to receive Malkus, they would recite the pasuk v'hu rachum yechaper avon. And then, even if they didn't get the Malkus, if something happened to them that they became ashamed and changed through this process, it affected them, so then they're off the hook. But then the Gemara takes the same pasuk of Vinikla and takes it one step further in the next Mishnah. Because the next Mishnah says in the underline of page 2, Kol chai v'krisus, anybody who lo aleinu is chai of kares, which is a very select Mishnah beginning of krisus, has a select group of 30-some individuals who would receive this very extreme form of punishment from the Ribbono Shel Olam, lo aleinu, shalaku, who were given malchus, nifteru yedei krisasam, they are absolved of their offense, which would have ordinarily given them the chiyuv of karis. So God forbid, the person, they ate chaylev. Chaylev, it's very hard to get chaylev if you're in a butcher store, because they cut off. The chaylev is like a part of the fat of the animal. Not fat like you see in the kitchen. Fat from the near the intestines that's cut off from the bottom of the animal, that no one sees that in the butcher shop. But if you went to a Schlachthaus, you would see, they could show you where the chaylev is down at the bottom. So God forbid a person ate that, and for some reason they got malchus. They were warned about malchus, not to eat it, and then they were given lashes. That's it. They're not going to get the punishment of karis anymore. That's the opinion of the first sage in this Mishnah. It becomes a debate. But what's the verse that they quote? Interesting. Shenemar, v'nikla achicha la'inecha. Your brother is hit to your eyes. V'nikla, he's hit also, kal, meaning he's shamed. He's degraded. And that was the source of the previous Mishnah, that if he had this accident, then, says the Gemara, kishelaka, once he is hit, harehu ke'achicha. He is like your brother. It's a very interesting language. You're talking about somebody who's an extreme sinner. Extreme sinner. I can't say I've ever met such a person that would brazenly want to do this. But once they get the malchus, al pidin, the halacha says, you know how you look at that person? Ke'achicha. Just like your brother. So this sounds to me very much like we move on. It's like achicha. Once that stage was passed, we move on. There's a fascinating Gemara on page 3. Now, I don't know if this has ever happened to anyone, but let's say you're standing online at Dunkin' Donuts, and there's a guy there and there's a woman standing next to him, and they get to talking, and he says, he thinks this is the right girl. After about 5 minutes, so he takes out his watch, and he says to the girl, "Hare amakudeshasli." This is just going to get right to the punchline, but he doesn't know her that well, so he's a smart guy. He says, "Hare amakudeshasli al menash ani tzadik." And this way, he's going to be covered. So what's the din in such a case? Hare amakudeshasli amenash ani tzadik. So I don't know. How are you going to figure that one out? So the Gemara has the following din. Amenash ani tzadik afilu rasha gomor. His mamish Al Capone standing at Dunkin' Donuts. And he says to the woman, Amenash ani tzadik. So what are you going to say? There's no kiddushin here. What do you mean it's tzadik? He's what's his name, from Boston. He's mamash Rasha Marusha. So do you have to worry? So the Gemara says, Mekudeshes, she may be married, Mekudeshes. Now the Gemara says, Mekudeshes mi suffik. Don't get excited. She's not Mekudeshes bavadai. She needs to get mi suffik, out of doubt. Maybe the guy's a tzaddik. Maybe he's a tzaddik. What are you talking about? I just saw him leave the bag, from his last heist. I saw him leave it in the trunk when he got out to go to Dunkin' Donuts. So the Gemara says, what? Shema hear her tshuva bedaito. Maybe he thought to turn his life around in his mind. Amazing. Here's a guy. He's an absolute criminal. And yet, we have a Safek Kedushin. Maybe this woman is married to this guy. I'm not saying anything about the quality of their marriage right now. Just observing halachically, are they married? So maybe, Safek Kedushin, maybe the guy was a Maharer. And it goes even further. So this is the Machlokas Rishonim. If you look on the next page, on page 4, this din is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. So it could happen. It could happen. I've never seen it happen. But on the right-hand side, the Chelkas Machokek, he says, he takes even further. He says, here are tshuva belibo, where I underlined it. This is his comment on this din of Shulchan Aruch. He says, afal pi sha'onu roin ha-gezela adayin biyado. Even though I see that the theft is still in his hand, I see in the back seat of his trunk, he's still holding the stolen plasma TV that he ripped off last night. It's still there. V'lo mikri bal tshuva ad sheyashlich hasheretz miyado. He can't be called a bal tshuva until he returns it. He's got the stolen goods in his trunk. Mikol makom, nonetheless, kevan shehiskim bedaito lahashiv, nikra gamkein tzadik. He's called a righteous person since he decided, he made up his mind that he's going to change his life. He's called a tzadik. Amazing idea. But some of you are probably, Mrs. Greenfield, you're probably waiting, wait a second. You're thinking, the Rambam says there are four steps in tshuva. I didn't hear any vidui. Right? He didn't say al chait. So what? How can it be the guy's called a bal tshuva? What does that mean? So you weren't the first one to ask this kasha. I heard this kasha in the name of the Gaon Rav Aaron Soloveitchik Zichrono Livracha, and that also I think it's a Soloveitchik discussion, but also it appears earlier on page 5 in the Menchas Chinuch Rav Yosef Bavad, the classic Galatianish commentary on the Sefer Chinuch. He asked this question. Wait a second. The Rambam says, I can't walk into shul. Rabbi Engel sees me in the hallway. I walked in the morning of Yom Kippur. I stayed for about 5 minutes. I didn't open a sitter, and I'm ready to leave. He sees me in the hall. He says, "You're done already?" I said, "Yeah, it was Mahara Tshuva. That's it. I'm done. What do I need a whole day for? Well, full of Al Chaitz. I'm out of here." So Simin Chaschinuch says, he says, the low kosh, it's not difficult. Im nomar, if we say, de'eno miskaper below vidui. You cannot. This is a whole long discussion, the whole page. He says, you can tell me, you can't get a kapara without vidui. That's essential. Mehod Arminon from the Gemara that we said, Afila Rasha Gomer Arminon Shema Hirab Tshuva Belibo Vahabi Tzadik Kemoshek Shinu La'el. He says, why? This is an amazing idea. De Be'emes, in truth, I'm on the third line in the bracket. Tzadik V'Rasha, whether or not the person has the standing of a Tzadik or a Rasha, Eino Toloi B'Kapora Klal. It's not dependent on whether a person achieves atonement. D'hayesh averus chamuros de'ein miskaper b'tshuva. God forbid. What does the Gemara tell us in Yuma, the Rambam codifies? There are certain averus that are so severe that tshuva alone, the regular tshuva, doesn't do the trick. We don't like to think about those averus. The chief avera among those averus that the Gemara says, even Yom Kippurim is not mechaper, is chilul Hashem. Lo aleinu. It's dangerous stuff. You know, we like to think that in Yom Kippur everything gets kapara, but there are certain things that are very hard. We mentioned before Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. Certain Bein Adam L'Chaveiro is hard to get kapara for. It's not easy, certain averus to get kapara for.
Well, what if you intentionally kill somebody?
So that's also a good question. If you intentionally kill somebody, there's the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro component. Nothing you could do about them. There's the Bein Adam L'Mokum component. But I'll give you another similar example that thankfully is not pertinent. Hopefully nobody here has murdered anyone. But it's a related example to Mrs. Geller's example. Let's take Mr. Polster here for a moment. So he's here, he's enjoying, he has a nice muffin. Everything is fine and good. Life is good, right?
Great.
Thank God, kids good, everything, you feel great, right? Everything is good. We were this morning together with the Moshe Chitim, and David Polster, he thinks that we're good friends. So here I am, I'm getting ready for Yom Kippur. This is theoretical, not practical. Theoretically, I'm getting ready for Yom Kippur. Here he is, and he's sitting around today, maybe the Browns game.
Against the Ravens.
Against the Ravens. I wasn't getting involved in that. Separate question. So here he is, the kids, everybody's good, and he gets a phone call, and he sees on the caller ID, it's a 917 number, which is, it's my number. It's like, oh, it's nice. Reuven Brand is calling. It's probably something good. It's probably something nice. So I call him up on the phone. I'm like, hey, Dave, you have a second? Like, Yom Kippur is next week. So, you know how we're really good friends, right? But when it comes to Yom Kippur, you have to ask people mechila. And I learned this year in the Rambam that the Rambam says that you have to be mefarit. You have to specify the thing that you did. So I just have to tell you that even though, you know, you had thought that I was always telling people that you were a nice guy, the last 2 weeks, I was just kind of in a bad mood. So I told people that you're really not such a nice guy. You're really pretty mean. And that you're very selfish and stingy and all your friends hate you. And and I posted that on Facebook and whatever other things, if I had them. Are you mocking me?
Absolutely, you got to be honest.
That's it, you got to be honest. So now David Polster hangs up the phone. How does he feel right now? Not very good. So this is a problem. This is a big problem. You know that the Chafetz Chaim sent his Sefer, Shmiras HaLashon, to Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, and he would not give him a haskama because of this one halacha. Because the Chafetz Chaim was of the opinion that if you want to do proper tshuva, like the Rambam says, you have to do tshuva from Lashon Hara by telling the person that you said Lashon Hara about them. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, I would not agree with that practice. Because what have you done by telling that person? How did it make you feel? Theoretically.
Terrible.
Terrible, right? You would have much preferred that I not call you on the phone. Lamaisa, by me calling you, I'm not going to, I mean, I probably hopefully took down my Twitter post or whatever I did, all that stuff. It doesn't, you're not feeling any better now at all. So Rabbi Saul Salanter says you actually make it worse when you call the person who you said Lashon Hara about them. So now, unfortunately, now you're in a bind. Now you're in a bind. It's a very serious problem because on the one hand, the Rambam says you have to ask mechila from people. On the other hand, if you ask mechila in that way, you're going to really hurt their feelings. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says you may not do that. So this is a problem. So the best medicine for this is not to say Lashon Hara in the first place. Because otherwise, you know, as a great mind once said, this is a fine mess you've gotten us into. This is a big problem. So the poskim discuss, it's not pashut, what to do about this. So maybe you can call an Erev Yom Kippur and just say things I said or things. It's not pashut. So this is a good question. Thank God it's not Ritzicha, but it's a similar case of where how can you get mechila from that person on Yom Kippur without hurting them even more than you did the first time? So that's a quandary. But coming back again to this point, is that the two things, being considered a tzaddik versus getting kapara, is a different matter. Sounds like from this comment is that in a certain sense, you can turn your life around. I can say that I'm going to be a tzaddik right now. You're right, I didn't get kapara for the stuff that I didn't get kapara for yet. Either the Lashon Hara that I said, or the Chil Hashem, God forbid someone calls the Chil Hashem. Maybe Moshe Yom Kippur. I can't say. Only the Rosham knows. Maybe they have kapar, maybe they don't. So what are they going to say? I'm not a tzaddik anymore? It's not true. I am a tzaddik, says the Minchas Chinuch. So how do I have to treat it? I did the best I could, and that's it. It's finished. And now I got to move on. So all of these things seem to indicate to me that, okay, it's done. Whatever it is, I did the best that I could, and now I got to move on. Yet, it's not so simple. Because there is an interesting Gemara, a debate on page 6, the Gemara has a machlokas. What about the following? Which we're not accustomed to, but maybe we should think about it for this year. Tana Rabbanan, here on Peivav Amud Beis, Averos shehisvada aleihem yom ha-kippurim zeh, lo yisvada aleihem yom ha-kippurim acher. Last year, I said vidur for certain things. This year, do I say them again, the same vidur? So the Gemara says, if you did not do them again, the first opinion is, don't mention it. I know last year I ate such and such a thing. That was last year. V'im shanaba, if you did it again, tzarech le'esvados yom ha-kippur macher. And if you did it, then you have to mention it. But if you know you didn't do such an aveira this year, you only did it last year, the first opinion of the Gemara is, what? Don't bring it up. Don't bring it up. Don't put it on your list of things to talk about this Yom Kippur, because you already said vidu about it last Yom Kippur. That's the first opinion.
You see, I'll hate six times.
Right. Meaning?
So we're saying the same thing over and over.
Okay, good. So that's a very good question. Bichlal, you know, why do you keep repeating the same thing? So it could be that this is one, you can look at it in one of two ways. Either because the first time we said it, maybe we didn't have the proper kavana, or it's part of one long vidui process of one Yom Kippur vidui. But in Achanami, you ask yourself, why it is that we say the Yud Gimel Midas, for example? We keep saying it over and over and over again. So that, and it might be true for Al-Khay, there may be a different mashal for that. You know, sometimes you come to, imagine someone comes to a door of an apartment building and they buzz you in. From upstairs. So some buildings, they have a doorman. That's a whole other story. But when we lived in Washington Heights, there was no doorman. That was the farthest thing from our building. We didn't have a doorman. We were lucky we had a door. So we had a door. It was one of these doors. That building, according to Nechama's grandmother, that in the 20s, it was a very fancy building. It was in the 20s, because it had a sunken living room. So you would push the door. It would buzz you from upstairs. You'd push the door. But if you were less than, 150 pounds, getting through that door was not so pushed. So yeah. So you have to push the door once, and then you have to push it twice. And depending on the size and the strength of the person, you have to push it a few times. So in a certain sense, that may be the process of the Yud Gimel Midos, that we're trying to break through to the neshama that's inside of us, but sometimes it takes more effort than just, okay, I'm going to say Yud Gimel Midos Rachman one time, and then, I really feel like I got to the core of my neshama. It's like Lahavdil, getting into a building in the heights. Sometimes you have to push the door repeatedly, because every time you make a little more progress before the door actually swings open. So maybe that's part of the reason you need to repeat the vidui multiple times, because maybe I only got the door open a little bit, but I'm still not in the lobby. I'm still trying to get through the door. But anyway, the second opinion here is pretty shocking, because I would have said that makes total sense. Last year I ate such and such. I did my vidui. I passed Yom Kippur. That's it. Done and done. But that's not the other opinion. Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov Omer, two lines down in the bracket on page 6, Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov Omer, Kol Shekein Shehu Meshubach. That's the proper thing to do. Wow. Shenemar, kif sha'ai ani eida, v'chatasi negdi tamid. My shortcomings are always in front of me. Wow. That's pretty interesting. Because I thought, look, I did my tshuva last Yom Kippur. I'm done. I moved on. Achshav ani tzarek, emesh, I was that. Now I'm this. I did tshuva, I'm finished. So from now on, according to the second opinion in the Gemara, for the rest of my life, I always have in my consciousness on Yom Kippur all the things, all those things that I thought were under the bridge. Wow. It's just unbelievable. What does that mean? And it's interesting because, let's say, a person, there are some people who have an amazing, they have an amazing accomplishment in their life. You know, I'm blessed, Baruch Hashem. My parents sent me to day school when I was a child. We grew up in a shtiebel. You know, not everybody had that gift. Some people, they made their whole journey by themselves. It's an unbelievable thing. They didn't come. They came from their own journey. So the Gemara says in Maseches Bava Metzia that if a person goes over to a convert and says, oh, you remember what it was like when you used to eat such and such? The Gemara says that's an Issa Doraisa. That's a very serious Issa. It's called Onoas Devarim, verbal abuse, and the Gemara quotes a Pasuk. Same thing would be true for a Baal Tshuva. Now, Baal Tshuva, I hope I'm in the realm of a Baal Tshuva, but I mean Baal Tshuva in the colloquial sense, that if somebody was so heroic enough to make it a journey for themselves that they used to, let's say they weren't observant growing up, and then they decided they want to kirvas alukim, they want dafka to become observant. So it's an Issa Doraisa to go back to that person when you're driving the car passing Burger King and say, oh, remember the good old days when you used to eat in Burger King? That's an Issa Doraisa. Because that person, it's a new story. And yet, does this Gemara mean that we're supposed to keep in our mind for the rest of our life all the things? Like, what does that mean? So Rabbeinu Yonah, the famous great moralist, the ethicist from Spain, who is the first cousin of Ramban, of Nachmanides, so he's living in the 13th century, he has a very important work on tshuva called Sha'arei Tshuva. And he rules on this debate. Next page, page 7. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, he says, I'm going to pask in this Shiloh. V'omer Rabbeinu Zichrono Lufrach, he quotes the Gemara in Yuma we just said. And he has a little bit of a different girsa. Averu shesvar alim b'yom ha-kippurim zeh chuzum esvar alim b'yom ha-kippurim acher. We go back to them. Shenemar v'chatasi negdi tamid. Rebbe Lezer ben Yaakov omer eino chuzum esvar alim b'yom ha-kippurim acher. Uba midrashim his hiru ma'od, they were very cautious. Shelo yachzor fi yisvada aleim biyom kippur macher. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, do not do that. Once and done. You spoke about it last Yom Kippur. You dealt with it last Yom Kippur. That's it. And he gives you multiple reasons why you should not do another vidui on the old sins, those old mistakes. Number one, he says, Ki ha'echad, I just underlined them briefly. Ki humare atzmo miktane habitachon. It almost indicates that you don't really believe that Hashem is going to forgive you. And by the way, that's one of the biggest problems that we have. One of the biggest impediments to tshuva is that we don't believe in ourselves. And in a certain sense, we don't believe that the Rabbona Shel Olam is willing to really move on. So we're not willing to let go because we don't believe. We don't believe, says Rabbi Yonah, that's a big problem. The Rabbona Shalom is willing to go on, even though human beings, we might not be able to. He says he's ready. So if what's going to happen, if I start doing vidya again this year for an old sin, what does it sound like? I don't believe it worked the last year. So he says that's one problem. Another problem, it sounds like I'm only worried about old stuff, not new stuff. Then on page 8, he says a third problem. It almost sounds like I'm bragging. Remember last year, I did my vidui about that one. So he's very opposed to this opinion. That's how Rabbeinu Yonah paskins. Okay? So if you are a disciple of Rabbeinu Yonah, once and done. But what would you say if you were the Rambam? So you turn the next page to page 9. The Rambam tells you what he thinks. The Rambam He's a little bit earlier, 1135 to 1204. So he's just before the generation before the Rabbeinu Yonah. Averos shehisvada aleim b'yom ha-kippurim zeh. The averos that a person already confessed and spoke about in this Yom Kippur, chozer umisvada aleim b'yom ha-kippurim acher. A person should repeat the vidui, the confession, the next Yom Kippur. Af al pi shehu omeid b'tshuvaso. Even though he is in his state of tshuva, shene'emar, as it says in the pasuk, kif sha'ai ani eda v'chatasi negdif tamid. I recognize my mistakes and my chatoim are always in front of me. So that's pretty intense. So what does that mean? Now, one thing I think it's important to keep in mind, the word vidui. The word vidui means to confess, right? The problem with that word in English is it has a very specific denotation, doesn't it? It sounds like extremely negative. So that's not a very, it's not an accurate description of the word vidui. Because if a person says that all Yom Kippur is about when they introspect is saying, God, I'm a failure, I'm a loser, I'm a nothing, I did nothing, I accomplished nothing. So on some level that's true, but if that's their whole view of themselves, so then what hope do they have for the coming year? The word vidui means to verbalize. So on Yom Kippur, we verbalize the shortcomings that we have because we need to come to grips with them. We can't live in la-la land and pretend that we never made any mistakes. We made a lot of mistakes. Ad kedei kach ve'enachanami. Like we say in the vidui, we'd better off if we wouldn't have been here in the first place. But the word vidui also has the connotation that we have to recognize the accomplishments that we have and the reason that we're here. How do I know that? Because in two weeks ago, in the beginning of Parshas Kisavo, we had something called vidui maaser. A person, at the end of the cycle, when they're supposed to give their tithes, they have a declaration that they recite. Vidui maaser, that's what Chazal call it. What is vidui maaser? What does the person say? The Balei Kri here are thinking it in their head. Lo achalti ba'oni, I didn't eat it when I was an onein, lo aleinu. I didn't eat it improperly. I didn't eat it when I was tamei. I gave all the tzedakah that I was supposed to give. I gave it to this. Wait a second. That's a very unusual vidui, right? A person walks in the door and they say, I did this, check. I did that, check. I did that, check. I did. That's not the vidui word. Is that? No, it's not. So what is it? The answer is, it's the same thing. Vidui means you have to verbalize what you did. And that means in both directions. So when vidui maaser comes around, you have to be confident enough to say, yes, I did it properly. And you should verbalize that. You need that reinforcement. You need that reinforcement. Everybody needs reinforcement. Dr. Pelkovitz tells of an anecdote of the Rebbe Rashab. I think he was the father of the Friedrich Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rav Sholem Dovber, that he was once depressed. And he went to meet with Freud. And Freud told the Rebbe Rashab that the reason why you feel depressed is because your Hasidim, they appreciate everything that you provide for them, but they don't verbalize that to you. So you never get any positive reinforcements. No one ever goes over to the Rebbe and says, Rebbe, you're awesome. We really appreciate it. So that's why you're depressed, because you need to tell yourself that what you're doing is important. You need that balance of vidui on the negative side and vidui also on the positive side. Because if a person sinks only into the negative side, they're going to be farfallen. So that's important. Just we shouldn't get carried away misunderstanding vidui. We have to be serious about the mistakes that we made. So the question is, does this mean now we're going to carry all the baggage? You know, we started by thinking that we finally moved on. V'nikla achicha la'enecha hareu ka'achicha. But now not so much. So I think there are two ways that we can, I'm sure there are many more if we discuss them at length, but I would think about two ways to approach this. The first is a piece from Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin. This is an amazing, amazing sefer. Reb Tzadok HaKohen Rabinowitz lived at the turn of the 20th century, and he has a small sefer, in many sfarim, but this small sefer is called Tzidkas HaTzadik, and it has sections, I learned it last year, with Rabbi Berman. We learned that Tzidkas Tzadik last year, 15, 20 minutes a day. And he has a lot of just incredibly amazing and brilliant insights. So this is one that is very interesting that can help frame this discussion. He says the following. B'chol madrega shu ole, every time a person grows and elevates themselves, yesh lo lachzor v'loshuv al chata'av. He should go back, like the Rambam said, and think about the shortcomings that they had before. V'zeu inyan v'chatosi negdi tamid. This is the principle that we said, that the person should always be conscious of the things that they did wrong. Af al pi she'emin shekvar niskabla tshuvaso, even though he believes and he knows that the tshuva was already accepted. Mikol makom, lefi shehu lo haya omeid, ubekol yom ola mi madrega lemadrega. Every time he goes from one step to a different step. What an interesting idea.
Two steps or one step
ahead. Partly, that's the next thing that he concludes. But I think there's something even in addition to the two steps forward, which is the next part of the paragraph. Here I am. I'm Reuven Brand facing Yom HaDin 5775. So hopefully, I believe, you know, at least by coming to the shiur every week this past year, I've grown. So if I was this person last year, but now spiritually I'm ennobled, I've learned, I've grown, I've improved, so now I'm up here. So maybe last year, when I reflect on the previous year, it was pasnished for me, it was not right, it was beneath me, of course, like every Jewish person, it was beneath me to do such and such an Aveira. But now, I'm not the person I was last year, I'm a better person than that. So in a certain sense, that Aveira that took place, it was not right for this person, it's certainly not right for me now. So when I reflect back on who I am, now, that past, it's actually less fitting for me now. Because I'm not that same person. Last year, someone did tshuva because they had eaten at Burger King. Then they spent a year growing in their Avodas Hashem, they did tons of mitzvahs, they davened, they learned, they did chesed, amazing. So now, they're not the same person they were last year. Now they are this elevated person. So when they think about the treif hamburger they ate at Burger King, now they feel like, you know what, I can come back and reflect with a different perspective. You know, last year I thought it was not right for me, now it's certainly not. It's the same Aveira, but it's a different perspective. Why? Because I'm ole mi madrega la madrega. I'm not where I was last year. I'm much greater than that. I'm much better than that. And therefore, in the rear view mirror, that Aveira, it's almost like it bothers me more now. Because, you know, that last year was one thing, but now, certainly, look, I'm kovei yitam l'torah. I do chesed. I come to daven. That's not me. So in a certain sense, there's a freshness of frustration about that Aveira. And look what he says in the third to last line. Va'agmas nefesh sheyesh lo mechatov hu ha'onesh. The fact that the person feels a sense of agmas nefesh, that was not right for me, that's their onesh, that's their tikkun. That itself is a big piece of the tshuva. Just recognizing that, you know what? I'm not there anymore. That's not for me. What an amazing idea, says Reb Tzadok. The fact that on Yom Kippur, we feel a sense of, not despair, but a sense of
disgust
or disappointment in ourselves, that feeling of disappointment, that itself is the onesh. That's a transformational thing. It's an amazing idea. So last year, I felt disappointed in myself that I did that. This year, when I'm such a much bigger and better spiritual person, I also feel disappointed again because I'm looking back. I'm like, wait a second, I can't believe I did that. Because look at me now. Look where I am now. So I think that's one perspective as to why it is that every year we're going to keep coming back to the same old Averis, not because we don't believe they were forgiven, but because now we look at them. I don't want to say it's like nostalgic, but it's like, we look back and we're like, wait a minute, I'm so different from that now. I'm ashamed for who I am now to have done that. Look at me now and look where I was. That's one aspect of it. But I think there's another aspect that fits, but it's a different perspective. This first perspective is that the Agmas Nefesh is also, it's a continued tikkun, but it's more than that. The Gemara has an expression that B'makom shebalei tshuva omdim, in a place where balei tshuva, where they stand, tzadikim gemurim einam yecholim lamud. The holy righteous people, holy with a W, they don't reach that level. They can't stand there. They don't approach the level of a person who's what we would call a bal tshuva, that high madrega. How do we understand that? The Gemara says in Yuma that if a person violates an avera lo aleinu, so if they come back to themselves because they are concerned about the consequences, so that's what we call tshuva meyira. They return to themselves, but only because they're afraid of the consequences. But if they return to themselves because of what's called tshuva me'ava, where they really see the beauty of the soul that they had and how disappointed they are in that they're blemished, that's a whole other level. It's tshuva me'ava. So Gemara has an expression, tshuva me'ira, if a person does that, we could call low grade. You know, it's like at the pump. You have to choose which one you want. Do you want the 87 octane? Which is good. You can get where you need to go with the 87. But that's tshuva me'ira. But then there's invigorate, or whatever a fancy name they put in to try to convince you to buy the other gasoline. If you want the spitz tshuva, that's tshuva me'ava. And that, it's not that your zedonos become shgagos, that your intentional affairs become like negligence. Then your zedonos become zechuyos. They become like a merit for you. And you ask yourself, how does that Gemara make sense? How could it be that I had done something, I had committed such and such a crime, and now that same crime is actually going to work in my favor? So it goes back a little bit to what Dr. Poland alluded to in terms of how life is about dealing with the circumstances that you've got. So in a certain sense, it's like a rubber band. Right? If I take a rubber band, as kids, you know, you shoot rubber bands at other kids. That's part of the fun. So if you pull the rubber band back with your thumb this far, so it'll go a certain distance. Some kind of physics involved in this story. But if you pull your thumb back even further, then it's going to go much farther. So depending on how taut you pull the thing, the rubber band, that's how much further it's going to go. So a person who is a bal tshuva, so that means that you're right, they put themselves in a situation, they made some choices that weren't the proper choices. But once they were in that situation, they actually, by doing tshuva me'ava, they transformed themselves out of that circumstance. And so they actually were able to catapult themselves further than where they perhaps would have been if they had never been in that circumstance to begin with. Now, a person can always be a bal tshuva. It doesn't mean that, I'm not suggesting that when the shiur is over for the afternoon, we go downtown and we find some good averas so that tomorrow, because we want to chaperayin to become balei tshuva. First of all, I can tell you, I have enough averas. I'm not looking for any more to collect. But even if I wasn't, the concept of being a balei tshuva means I take the circumstance that I'm in and I find my connection to the Ribono Shel Olam from wherever that was. There's an awesome vort, and I think about this sometimes. In the Yom Ha'Rum, we say Kedusha, because in my Machzor, in the Chassidish Machzorim, and I think also in the art school, when the Chazan says the word Ayeh in the Musaf, so there's a little thing people daven for. They daven for children, they daven for Parnassa, for health. So they said Vort in the name of Rav Nachum Breslov, because the Brit says, Ayeh Makom Kavodo. The angels ask each other, where is the place of the Ribono Shel Olam? So Rav Nachum Breslov said, you know where the Ribono Shel Olam is? Ayeh. Wherever any Jew says, where are you? Aye? That's Makom Kavodo. That's where you're going to find the Ribono Shel Olam. So a person who's a Baal Tshuva with Tshuva Me'ava, it means they recognize that they're going to use their circumstance and transform themselves to grow spiritually. So now I can understand why. But Makom Shebalei Tshuva Omdim, in that high place, people who are Tzadikim Gemurim, they just want to cruise. They're not necessarily invested in the same way to transform their life through Tshuva. So maybe in that light, we can understand why you always go back through Vidui. Because by going back through the Vidui of the old stuff, I'm actually giving myself more and more opportunities to transform myself. It's like pulling, when I go back further and further and say, Ribbono Shalom, you remember all of those things? But I want to be a Baal Tshuva Me'ava. It's like pulling the rubber band so far back that it's going to hurtle even farther than we ever even imagined, because it's part of that transformational process. So I don't think it's one or the other. You know, we started asking the question of, you know, do we forget? Do we move on? Does it exist? Does it not exist? So on some level, we say it doesn't exist. Once you did hira tshuva, so then for certain purposes, for kiddushin, it doesn't exist anymore. But on the other hand, it does exist. That's part of who we are. And the question is, how do we deal with that? You know, we're not expected to pretend that we didn't have the life that we led. The question is, what kind of transformation do you do with it? And to recognize that we're all, like Reb Tzadok says, we're always growing. So that means, number one, the things that we did, we're even more disappointed than we thought we were last year, because now we're much better than we were. But also, it means that when we reflect on where we're going and how we bring the Ribbono Shel Olam into the tshuva process, then by recognizing the amount that we've come from where we were way, way back then, it actually enables us to take the tshuva me'ava all the much further, more further. I wish all of us, individually and collectively, with all of Klal Yisrael, we should be zocha to exceed v'chassima tova, la'al to l'chaim and l'shalom. Have a wonderful year.